Washington opens up a trade spat with India. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. After China, President Trump is now going after America's trade deficit with India. Under a preferential trade agreement for developing countries, India currently sends $5.6 billion worth of exports to the U.S. duty-free. But President Trump has given Delhi notice that 1,900 products will no longer qualify. The BBC's Davina Gupta has more from Delhi.
The idea was for economic development in countries like India. And the other benefit was for the American companies to get raw materials at cheaper prices. Now, the U.S. has removed India from this list. Last year, it started the process of removing some goods. And now there are about 1,900 goods that have been removed. And that includes, say, organic chemicals. It includes certain raw materials of agricultural use. And India is saying that the economic impact of this will be about $190 million.
So not a huge, huge impact. But surely this is in response to the fact that India has been creating barriers for American companies trying to take advantage of the vast Indian market.
Well, we've seen the rules have changed in India also, especially ahead of elections, because the ruling Hindu Nationalist Party that is under Narendra Modi, they want to project themselves in a favorable light to the domestic voters. Not many of them are happy with the entry of, say, Amazon or Walmart. It's taking business away from the small traders. And that's why there have been a bit of tightening of news for these companies to operate in India. The Indian government barred companies like Amazon and Walmart from selling their own brands directly online. And that sort of hits the Walmart and Amazon businesses directly.
So India has a trade surplus of something like $21 billion with the U.S. So it can't be a huge surprise that President Trump has taken this step.
There is no denying that there is a huge deficit. And President Trump has been wary of the high tariffs that India imposes on goods coming from the U.S. So, for example, if there is a U.S. bike or like Harley Davidson, which is a premium bike, which needs to be sold in India, earlier, the Indian government put about 100% tariff on that. So it was more expensive. Then under the Trump presidency, it was reduced to about 50%. And there have been negotiations on the other front. So, say, for example, medical devices that are coming from the U.S., they have been capped so that they're more affordable here, which the U.S. opposes. Then there are agricultural products which have high tariffs. Again, U.S. has opposed that. So these are places where the U.S. wants more access to the Indian market, and India has been holding off. And that's where the negotiations haven't worked out.
Davina Gupta, and President Trump has also indicated he'll take action against Turkey. Let's do the numbers. Chinese stocks rose again on Tuesday, buoyed by signs of progress being made in trade talks with the U.S. On Monday, they rose to their highest level since June. Meanwhile, the Chinese government has lowered its target for economic growth at the National People's Congress in Beijing to between 6 and 6.5%. The global car industry is facing a number of challenges: falling sales, demand for lower emissions, and talk of a big drop in private ownership in the future. But at an annual show in Switzerland, car makers are doing their best to drum up excitement. The BBC's Theo Leggett is in Geneva.
Well, Anu, I guess there's inflation in everything, and that's true for the car world as well. And what we're talking about here is a breed of really fast, really powerful cars. They're always built of carbon fiber now. They have big engines, but often they use hybrid systems as well. So where with smaller cars, you have hybrid systems that are designed to make them more environmentally friendly, when it comes to hypercars, that's not really the point. It's to get even more power out of them. So yes, around the stands here at Geneva, there are a number of these hypercars. They look extremely exotic.
So tell us about the Battista, because this is one of those hypercars, and I understand it's got like twice the power of a Formula One car?
Absolutely. This is one of the real show stealers here. This is the Battista from Automobili Pininfarina, which is a startup company effectively, but backed by the Indian giant Mahindra. Now, this car, it has 1,900 horsepower. In theory, it's capable of 217 miles per hour. But here's the interesting thing about it, Anu. The thing about this car is it doesn't use a traditional internal combustion engine. Oh, no, this one's electric. So I asked Automobili Pininfarina's chief executive, Mikhail Peshka, why they decided to rely on batteries.
First of all, we wanted to build the most powerful Italian sports car ever made. And we wanted to use the best technology available to achieve at performance levels. And then actually you have to go electric. Electric is the future, and you cannot achieve the performance levels we had in our target book with an ICE engine.
Now, Theo, you mentioned the company Automobili Pininfarina. It's Italian, but backed by an Indian car maker. Tell us a bit more about this collaboration. I mean, it's quite international. It's quite cutting edge.
Mahindra makes a lot of cars in India. They are a mass market car maker, but they're sort of lower end of the market. But they have been trying to establish themselves with a foothold in the European upmarket segment. And what happened was a few years ago, they bought up the Pininfarina design house. And then they decided that having that brand in their stable, they wanted to actually build cars with that brand as well. So they set up Automobili Pininfarina. It's a really interesting collaboration, but Mahindra seems to think it's working out at the moment.
Theo Leggett there in Geneva, not supercars, but hypercars in Geneva. In London, I'm Anu Anand, coming to you live with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.